seated. Exodus chapter 3. Our text is the first 14 verses, but since we read that entire passage last Sunday morning, I just want to read the first 5 verses as we begin today to refresh our memory of what we were beginning to talk about last week. Exodus chapter 3, the first 5 verses. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight while the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Did you know, my friends, that sometimes the hardest ground can become holy ground? The hardest ground can become holy ground. That our most difficult experiences in life can become our most valuable ones. That God can, and He often does, use the wilderness to work His wonders in our lives. So I'd like us to go back again today and look at this powerful passage again and the great experience in the life of Moses and continue with the message that we began last week. We started by saying that the greatest thing that ever happened to Moses took place in the desert, on the far side of the desert. He found himself living in the wilderness, tending his father-in-law's sheep. And you know, that reminds us that God often uses the times and the places in our lives that we'd like to avoid. How many have ever been in a situation you'd like to avoid? But he often uses those times and places to do the most good in our lives. Moses spent the first 40 years of his life in Egypt, living in the king's palace, adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, having the best of everything. But one day, all of that changed. He murdered an Egyptian and fled far away to the desert of Midian. But something incredible, something powerful happened to Moses there on the far side of the desert. Yes, Moses had known God before that, but in the desert, Moses became all in. Perhaps today, my friend, you know God, but maybe you're not really all in. Through the burning bush in what I like to call no man's land, Moses heard the voice of God for the very first time. He experienced the very presence of God, that desert place literally became holy ground. And Moses became a fully committed man of God. Moses became all in the desert. And so today, we want to go back to the message that we began last week that I've entitled All in the Desert. And today is part 2. Heavenly Father, thank you from the very bottom of our hearts for all that you've done for us and for all that you mean to us. Lord, I'm so glad that when you came up with the plan of salvation to save us from our sins, to reverse the curse, to give us, to offer us the gift of eternal life, to send your very own Son to this earth, that Jesus was all in. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us will respond and that we will be all in for you. Lord, I know you're here in this place. And I pray that you would continue to speak to us through your word this morning. And I ask one more time for the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be upon me. I can't do your will and preach your word without it. So I rely upon you. And that your Spirit would be upon each and every one of us, that we could hear what the Spirit of the Lord says to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes we find ourselves in a desert place, in a wilderness experience, and it's usually not by choice. You don't decide when you get up one morning, I'm going to walk through the wilderness today. It's not where we want to be, where we desire to be. It's not an enjoyable or a comfortable or a pleasant place, and it's usually a painful experience, but it can be very productive in our lives and necessary and valuable to us in the long run, because there's something special about those desert places, those experiences in our lives that God can use to teach us and to train us and grow us and develop us like no other time, like no other place. It's a place where we can truly hear from God and experience His presence. And like for Moses, it's a great place to learn to be all in. Moses enjoyed the comforts of Egypt for 40 years. But notably, he did not hear from God there. It was only in the desert, the hot, hard, dry place in his life, that he heard from God, and he had his first real and lasting encounter with God that changed the whole rest of his life. We all prefer the easy times, the comfortable places. We want to walk the smooth roads. But friends, that's not where we usually hear from God. Maybe God has brought you to a desert place because He wants to do something special in your life. Maybe He's using your desert to bring you all in. So we're looking at a few important things that we can lift out of this great passage here in Exodus chapter 3. The first that we began with last Sunday morning is this: that God often speaks to us in the desert. God often speaks to us in the desert. I'll tell you this, that there's nothing greater, there's nothing more pivotal in our lives, there's nothing more powerful or necessary for us in our Christian walk than to hear from God. And I want to ask you, you don't need to answer, but just think about this question. When's the last time you heard from God? Again, it's interesting that during all of his years in Egypt, in Pharaoh's place, in a great situation, Moses never heard from God. You know, if we always lived in the kind of situations and places and experiences that we preferred, we probably wouldn't hear from God. It took a drastic, dramatic turn in his life, that desert place, to get Moses' attention. You know that God is always working to get your attention. And He'll take us to wherever we need to go to get that attention. Now, if you follow Moses' story out a few years later and you go to chapter 33 and verse 11, it tells us that the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Moses got to the place in his life where he was hearing from God on a regular basis. That God would speak to him face to face. Wouldn't you love to be in a place in your life where you regularly heard from God, where He spoke to you face to face as a man or a woman speaks to their friend? But it had to start somewhere. And the place that it all started was on the far side of the desert. In the most desolate, most unlikely place, it was there that Moses heard God's voice. It was there that Moses received God's direction for his life. It was there that Moses saw and heard enough to cause him to fully commit and follow God. In fact, if Moses had not had that desert experience, I wonder if he would ever have led God's people in the Exodus. If he would have ever become all in. If you've ever been through the desert, you know it can be a hot, a hard, a dry, a challenging place. I've been through a few myself. How about you? Maybe you're in one right now. But we all need to hear from God. We all need to experience His presence in our lives. The fact is, sometimes that only happens in the desert. And I want to encourage you, my friend, let God use your desert to bring you to where you need to be in Him. To bring you to a place of complete commitment. To bring you to being all in for Him. God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to you. And He often will do that in the desert. So number one, God speaks to us in the desert. Secondly, and we began to talk about this point last Sunday, and we're going to continue further in it today, but God often uses the desert for our good. For our good. I'm glad, I'm encouraged, I'm strengthened to know that whatever is happening in my life, whatever I'm going through, no matter how difficult or hard it may be, I'm encouraged to know that God is always working for my good. He always has my best in mind. He always knows what He's doing, and He always wants me to take me from where I am to a better place, to a closer place, to a stronger place. And that's His desire for you. Again, nobody wants to be in a desert place. I wish I could learn and grow in Christ without having to go through the desert. But being human gets in the way. It's not an enjoyable place. It's not an easy or a comfortable place. But God can use those experiences for our good. And listen, God always wants your good. And He can teach us things in those wilderness times that we can't learn anywhere else. And it's part of the process of what He's doing in us that He can't do any other way. God knows exactly where you are. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, God knows exactly where you are right now. And why don't you add this to it? And He knows exactly what you need. But you know, knowing that God knows where you are and what you need, God will put you in the right place. May not be the easiest place, but God will put you in the right place to make you into the person that He called you to be. The disciple that He wants you to be. God knows exactly how and where to reach us, to bring us into His perfect will, to fulfill His purpose for you. I got to watch my hand gesture here. I'm getting a Donald Trump hand gesture. Roll that, okay. But God will do whatever it takes to work out His plan and His purposes in your life, even if it means spending time on the far side of the desert. He'll do whatever it takes to get your attention. And I don't know about you, but I come from very healthy Pennsylvania German stock. And we're known for being hard-headed people. And sometimes God's had to really crack me upside the head to get my attention. Anybody else here like that? No, don't raise your hand. But I'm glad that God loves me enough, He cares about me enough to do whatever it takes to get my attention. You see, God wants more than anything for you to see Him, to hear Him, to be fully committed to Him, to be all in. We talked about last week, the thing about the desert is there's just not much there to drink. The desert, by definition, is a very dry place. And a desert experience creates a desperate thirst. If you're wondering why all the water bottles are lining the altar area, it's because I want you to think about thirst today. How thirsty are you for more of God? How thirsty are you for a fresh drink from the river of life? How thirsty are you for more infilling of the Holy Spirit? God often uses those places that and those times in our lives, those dry times, to make us thirsty for Him and for more of His Spirit. I share again those beautiful words from Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, my soul pants for You, O God. My soul thirsts for You, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? I want to find out where God is, and I want to get there quick as I can. And my desperate prayer is that this house of God, this sanctuary of the Lord, is a place where you can come and you can meet God. Where you can come and be in the presence of God. Where you can come hungry and be fed. Where you can come and be thirsty and find drink from the Lord. But then I turn your attention a few chapters further in Psalm 62, where the psalmist adds, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my... Psalm 63. I'm reading that and I thought, this isn't right. Psalm 63. O God, You are my God. Earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My body longs for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Where does the psalmist develop this thirst, this seeking after God? He develops it in the desert. Because the fact is that this psalm was written by David while he was living, not in the palace in Jerusalem, but while he was on the run in the desert of Judea. He wrote this psalm while he was in the desert. And he goes on in verses 2, 3, and 4. He says, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life, and my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. You see, for David, now get this. For David, the desert became a sanctuary. The desert became a place to be in the presence of God. Just like for Moses in the desert, when he saw the burning bush, and that place in the desert became holy ground. That place, that holy ground, literally became a sanctuary. You don't have to be in a temple. You don't even have to be in a church to be in a sanctuary where the presence of God is. Even a desert place, even your wilderness experience can become a sanctuary for you, a place where you can meet God. God, lead me to the sanctuary. Lead me to the place where I can meet you, where I can be in your presence, because there's no place that I'd rather be. I'm thirsty for God. I'm thirsty for more of God. And I hope you are too. So God often speaks to us in the desert. Secondly, He often uses the desert for our good. Thirdly, God also uses the desert to bring humility. Uses the desert to bring humility. Now, I love the old classic TV shows. Those old black and white sitcoms. One of my favorite shows of all time is The Rifleman. How many of you ever watched The Rifleman? Some of you old timers are with me, but they're showing them again. The Rifleman. Chuck Connors plays the star role, Lucas McCain. And I remember one episode of The Rifleman where Lucas was stranded in the desert and he ran out of water. And as he is going through the desert trying to find a place of safety, trying to get out of his desperate situation, his strength begins to fail. Weakness overcomes him. His mouth is dry. His lips are parched. They even show how dry and cracked his lips become. And he can hardly swallow anymore because he's so dry. He's so thirsty. And this big, strong guy, Chuck Connors, I understand, was about 6'6". And he played professional basketball for a couple years before he went to Hollywood and became a TV star. And you see this big, strapping, strong man literally brought to his knees. And he's crawling through the desert. He collapses to the ground because of his thirst that brought him down, brought him to the end of his strength, brought him to the end of his self. And thankfully, he finally collapses there. He's going into unconsciousness. And somebody happens along and finds him and carries him off to safety. But you know, the same kind of thing that happened to Lucas McCain physically is often true for us spiritually. That the dry places in our life create a thirst. But even more than that, when we get dry, when we get thirsty, when we become desperate, when we are brought to the end of ourselves, it brings out our weaknesses. And it brings us, it drives us to our knees. It brings us to our knees before God. The thirst in our desert place drives us to desperation. Oh, if God had more of us who were in desperation for Him. What God could do with a body full of desperate believers brings us to desperation to seek an oasis. What are you looking for when you're crawling in thirst and desperation through the desert? You're looking for an oasis. Oh, when we're driven to desperation to seek the oasis of the Holy Spirit, that's where David was. Oh God, You are my God. Earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My body longs for You in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. David was not only thirsty, he was desperate for before God, and he fell on his knees before God. He was humbled in the presence of God. God, if You don't bring me out, I'm finished. God, I need You. A pastor friend of mine once wrote this, and I quote, "During the dry, desert times of our lives, God establishes a bowing and a bending of our will and our heart toward Him. He creates humility within us, a recognition, an acknowledgement of our absolute need and our dependence upon Him and His grace." End quote. You see thirsty people crawling on hands and knees through the desert, looking, longing to come to a place of oasis. And when you come to that pool, that pond of fresh, clear, cool water to quench your thirst, you get down low at the water's edge. Are you catching this, my friends? You come up to the edge of the water and you get down low. You get on your knees and you dip your hands in the water. You bend down. You lower yourself down to where you can reach the water and drink. There's nothing more important than getting that drink that brings life. To drink from the river of God, my friends, we must get down. We must get on our knees. We must lower ourselves. We must humble ourselves before God. To drink from the water of life. There's times that come in each of our lives when we need humbling. I'll never forget, as they say, many moons ago, when I was fresh out of Valley Forge Christian College, armed with my Bible degree, thinking I was really something. Went into my first full-time ministry. It was along the Long Island Sound in the state of Connecticut. Went into that ministry thinking that I was fully equipped for every good work. Figuring that I had learned everything I needed to learn. I had all the answers. I knew exactly what I was going to do and how I was going to just win the world for Jesus. Thinking that I knew all I needed to know. Well, a very long and a very hard and a very difficult and a very heartbreaking story later, shared with you very quickly, after a year, I found out that I wasn't all that I thought I was. I wasn't all that I was cracked up to be. I found myself in a situation, partly my own fault, partly because of the situation that I had gotten myself into. I hate to admit, but my first full-time ministry, I was forced to resign. I was asked to leave. I left the ministry to an uncertain future. All my eggs are within one basket. I had no options. I had no alternatives. The only thing for this young man and Linda, my wife, who was pregnant with our first child at the time, we went back home. And I asked my dad for a job. My dad was a Volkswagen dealer. Gave me a job working in his shop, taking parts, used parts off of cars. Not exactly the ministry that God had called me to several years before. Needless to say, I was crushed. I was heartbroken. But more importantly, I was humbled and I was broken. A few weeks after we had returned home and I was working for my dad, I got together with my pastor. Still my pastor today, I talk about him a lot. Because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be standing here today. Pastor Mike. Still pastors a little church in Bangor, Pennsylvania. I got with my pastor and I shared my heartbreak with him, my brokenness with him. And he told me this, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, "Jerry, forget the ministry. Forget the ministry. Just be a Christian. Just be a Christian." The best advice at that time I could ever have received. That advice saved my life. It brought me to my knees. Because it wasn't the ministry that was important. It was my relationship with Christ that was important. God doesn't care so much about what you do. He cares about who you are. And I got back to the basics of learning again how to walk with Jesus. My friend, do you need to get back to basics today of what it means to follow Jesus, to be a disciple of Christ? Our dry times show us how absolutely we need God. And without Him, we're nothing. Our dry times drive us to seek Him, to see Him, to hear from Him. And the point is simply this, that when we are humble before God, that's when He can fill us. When we get down on our knees before Him, that's when we can drink from the Spirit of life. Because when we stop, God gets started. Where we end is where God begins. When we get out of the way, that's when God can start to move. It's only when we're truly humble before God that we can really be all in. Sometimes God uses the desert to bring us to our knees, to make us humble before Him. Fourth and lastly, we can learn so much in the desert. we can learn so much in the desert. There's many lessons God can teach us through those wilderness experiences that we just plain simply can't learn anywhere else. Will you let God teach you in the desert? Will you let God grow you in the desert? Will you let God change you in the desert? I close with this thought. What do you need to do when you're in the desert? I just thought I heard somebody ask me that question, so I thought I'd answer. Here's what you need to do when you're in the desert. Three things. Number one, ask the right question. When you're in the desert, ask the right question. And I don't mean, why am I here, Lord? Ask the right question. Go back to our text in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 3. Moses sees this bush that is on fire. And Moses sees that though it was on fire, it did not burn up. So in verse 3 it says, so Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange thing. And here's the question, why the bush does not burn up? That was his question. Why is this bush not burning up? Why is it not being consumed by the fire? Moses asks absolutely the right question. He's essentially saying, what in the world is going on here? What's happening? Many times, friends, in the hard place, again, God is trying to get our attention. He's trying to speak to us. He's trying to show us something. He's trying to move us forward. But we often only focus on the bad, on the difficulty, on the negative. And God wants us to ask the right question, because, my friends, we will miss it. You will miss it. You will miss what God's trying to do in your life if you don't stop and ask. You got to ask the right question. I remember once I was heading east on Interstate 78 across New Jersey toward Newark. If you've ever been in that neck of the woods, you know when you get towards Newark, it's not the easiest place to be. Now, I thought I knew the exit that I was supposed to get off of 78. I thought I knew where I was going. But I was wrong. And I wound up missing my exit. And then I saw a sign. I was about to cross the George Washington Bridge and enter New York City. And I knew that I had gone too far. I had missed my exit. And I had to stop. And let me tell you something. Stopping to ask for directions in Newark, New Jersey is not conducive to your health. But I had to stop and ask and turn around and go back and find my exit. Friends, when you're in the desert, you need to stop and ask God what He wants to do, what He's doing in your life, what He wants to speak into your life. When you're in a wilderness experience, here's what you need to do. You need to ask the right question. Why is this bush not burning up? God, what are you trying to tell me? God, what are you trying to show me? God, what's going on here? What do I need to learn in this situation? Ask the right question. Number two, take the right step. Take the right step. If you go down to verse 10, God speaks to Moses. God gives him his calling, his direction. He tells him that his mission is that God has heard the cry of his people in slavery in Egypt, and he's going to send him on a rescue mission. In verse 10, God says this to Moses, "So now go." So now go. You're going to get this. "So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." The next thing we need to do in the desert is we need to take the right step. Moses asked the right question. He got God's answer, but then, importantly, Moses had to do something about it. He had to respond. And God's direction to Moses was very clear and very concise and very simple and very powerful. Go now. Go now. God always has a purpose for every desert place. God always has a reason for every wilderness experience that you go through. But His purpose will only, somebody say only. God's purpose will only be accomplished in your life if you take action. If you take the right step. You can ask the right question. You can get the answer to your question. God could speak to you, but nothing will happen if you don't take the right step. When God speaks, He always, always requires a response from you. It always requires a step of obedience, a right choice. It always involves forward movement. The problem is that way too often, and I see this so many times in ministering to people, that people hear from God, they get His answer, they get His direction, and then they do nothing. They do nothing. So, "Oh God, show me what to do. God, speak to me. God, hear my prayer. God, answer my question. God, help me in this situation." And He speaks. He gives direction. He gives the answer. He gives guidance. He shows the way. And then they do nothing. Friends, that's why the altar is so important. The altar is the most important place in this entire facility. There's nothing more important than the altar. Because it's at the altar where you not only hear from God, the altar is the place where you take action, where you go forward, where you move toward God. When you come to God, it's a place of response. Where you say, "God, I want to do what you've called me to do. I want to go where you've asked me to go. God, I want to follow you. I want to respond." The altar is the place where we show God that we want to take the right step. I was sharing with my Sunday school class this morning that when I was 16 years old at camp meeting in Allentown, Pennsylvania, Calvary Jubilee Park, that God spoke to this young man, this teenager, in that service on a Tuesday night after the evangelist had preached and he had called on people to recommit their lives to Christ. He had called on people to come forward and receive the baptism, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I was joking with the Sunday school class that I was resisting going up to the altar so powerfully that if that building is still in existence today, if those old wooden pews are still there, that you could probably see the indentations of my fingers on the back of the pew in front of me because I held on so tightly that I did not want to go. I did not want to go up there. The last thing a 16-year-old wants to do is go up to the altar and make a fool out of himself in front of the whole church and all his friends. You know, you got to get so hungry and thirsty for God. You got to get so desperate for God, you don't care what anybody else thinks. The Holy Spirit, the power of God was so strong in that tabernacle, it finally broke my grip and I let go and I made a beeline to that altar and my life was completely and forever changed. I gave my life back to Jesus and I was gloriously baptized in the Holy Spirit. When God was drawing me to the altar, I realized that I had to let go. And I had to take action. You see, the point again is without a response, there is no progress. Without a response, there is no progress. If you don't act upon the Word of God, church, I'll tell you what will happen. Nothing. Nothing will happen. Nothing will change if we don't take the right step. And thirdly and lastly, ask the right question, take the right step. Thirdly, accept the right challenge. Accept the right challenge. Verses 12 through 14 in our text. And God said, look, oh wow, I will be with you. God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. You see, God gave Moses a great challenge, and he accepted. He accepted the challenge. Yes, he had doubts. Yes, he had fears. Yes, he had questions. Man, if you wait until all your doubts are gone, if you wait until all your fears are quelled, until you wait till all your questions are answered, you'll never do anything for God. You've got to trust Him. You've got to step out. You've got to respond. You've got to move forward. You've got to take the right step and accept God's call. Accept His challenge to you. You see, the wilderness experience always offers a challenge. God's challenge. And Moses decided right then and there he was going to accept the challenge and be all in. How about you? Will you accept God's challenge and be all in? What will you do? Will you take the right step? Will you accept the challenge? Because when you go all in for God, He will go all in for you. And He will be with you. Friends, God is offering us a challenge right now. Will you hear His voice? Will you respond? Will you take action? Will you do the right thing? Will you accept your mission from God? Will you let your desert place bring you to be all in for Jesus? If you're in a desert place, you may be exactly where you need to be for God to do His work in your life. It may not be an easy place, but it sure can be a life-changing place. Somebody once said this, our greatest struggle can become our greatest success. Our greatest struggle can become our greatest success. There's just some things that God can only do in the desert. Moses spent 40 years in the house of Pharaoh. Nothing happened. So what did God do? He took him to the far side of the desert. He spoke to him there. And he changed his life there. God uses those same kinds of experiences in our own lives for His good, for our good, to be part of the process that He's using to bring about His purposes in our lives, to develop a thirst for more of Him, for more of His Spirit, to bring us to our knees, to bring us low, to a place of humility so that we can drink and so that He can do His work in our lives. We ask the right question. Will you take the right step? Will you accept the right challenge? Will you respond to God? Not tomorrow, not next week. But the time to respond to God is now. How long has it been, my friends, since you've heard from God? How long has it been since you've been truly desperate, thirsty for more of Jesus? Are you truly humble? Are you broken before Him? Broken vessels are the vessels He can repair, the vessels He can fill, the vessels He can use. How long has it been since you stepped out, since you stepped forward, since you took action? Don't let the moment get away. And nothing happens. And nothing changes. Stu is going to put on a song that says, "All who are thirsty." And as this song is played, I want to ask you to consider this. Will you come and be all in? The Lord is here. Will you come and surrender in humility? The Savior is here. Will you come in commitment? The Spirit is here. The water of life is here. Will you come and drink? Jesus is here for all who are thirsty. Will you accept the challenge and take the step? Brother Stu? Hallelujah.
Dip your heart in the stream of life. I surrender all and feel by saving. one last time, can we sing? It will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I